Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. I'm broadcasting live deep underground in an undisclosed location, and it will continue to remain that way. There's a lot of things on the books right here. We've got some amazing things. This conference coming up, unfortunately, is sold out. And we've actually tried to squeeze a few more people in there, and we're just, like, packed to the gills here. So, I mean, that's a wonderful message. Before, we used to have to struggle like crazy to get, you know, people to come up to the ranch, and now we just can't handle the people that are coming up. We're either going to have to get a bigger building or do something else, but start doing events outdoors or something, which I would love. I love working outdoors and doing work out there. It's a lot more, let's say, energetically compatible. We're working on a live webcast right now. So we're working on a way of live streaming this, and we have all the technology in place. We're testing it out, and it looks like it's going to be a go. So for those that couldn't make it to the conference, we're going to do the best we can to get this live webcast out. You know, hopefully the technology will hold up and continue. We are in a vortex here, and technology is very tricky. You know, we have batteries discharge here and all kinds of crazy things. There's certain areas, if you park here, you go out to your car and the thing won't start, you know. And I tell people, don't park your car there, and they give me a dirty look like, who are you, you know. And I said, okay, leave it there. And they come out in the morning and the battery's dead. And so rather than, you know, be, a, you know, half of them, I just let them have the experience. But there's a few other things. We've got, if you want to find out what's going on at the ranch, get on the newsletter. Just go to easteddy.org, sign up on the newsletter, and we can let you know all of the major events happening. You know, the Kunlun classes, when they're happening. There's a July 24th, there's a gathering for the kids. It's like a fairy gathering, you might say. So that's a really nice event to check into. But, you know, there's a lot of ongoing classes, and after the conference, we're going to kind of take a deep breath and see where we're going to go after this. We are having some major challenges, and, you know, with this much interest comes a lot of challenges. And although the community overwhelmingly loves what we're doing, and it's put this community on the map and kept business alive here, it was pretty much a ghost town. You know, the logging was pretty much stopped. It's a farming community. And there's just no work here at all. And the restaurants were closing up and weren't doing too well. So very tough, you know, very tough to make it here. But since we've been bringing so many people into the community now is thriving, and the consciousness here is changing, and it's looking really good, actually. But, you know, pretty much most people are in harmony here. We have a few, you know, that are holding on to the old program, you know, in the past, but they are figuring it out, and when they see all these people with these big beaming smiles on their faces, being very courteous and loving, they start to wonder, maybe there might be something going on over there, you know. So who knows, you know. Hopefully this will grow and you know, spread out across the planet. Speaking of that, there is a Grand Cross going on. We're in a full moon status. You know, this is a prime time. We've already getting some pretty major earthquakes, so heads up. You know, if you're sitting on a fault line or you're on the coast, you might want to start paying attention, because this is a prime time for some major earth changes. And, you know, getting back to the Gulf oil, you've probably been barraged with the Gulf oil. And with me, I take the Gulf oil incident very serious. I mean, this is a potential planet killer. It could be, if they don't get their act together. And obviously BP has been lying to everybody all the way down the line, and our president seems to be believing everything they say, and he continues with the charade. But, you know, they still have a volcano going off down there. And, you know, they drilled into areas that, you know, had as much as 100,000 PSI. You cannot cap something like that. It should have never been drilled in the first place. And they had no backup plan or no alternative plan. They just drilled, you know, Palin said, drill, baby, drill. Just keep drilling, you know. Hell with the economy. Economy of the people along the coast, or the wildlife and everything else. We're just going to suck this planet dry and live, you know, live the life. So now we're seeing the reflection of that. So basically, it's a very tough situation. You've got the media pretty much bought and paid off, and you have, basically a lot of the people in Congress and the House are pretty much on the dole, though they received, millions of dollars. Even the president got some very, very big, contributions there. So basically, they're not, very few people in there are going to really say it like it is. I know Dennis Kucinich stood up and just said, "What the hell is wrong with you? You know, when are you going to wake up and smell the coffee? We cannot destroy the environment and ruin the lives of people like this, just for greed of a few, So there are a few that are standing up there and just saying it like it is. And they only gave the guy like 30 seconds or something like that to do his thing. So he had to speak very fast. And, it's very sad that people that are even controlling the House and the Congress are actually censoring these people. So that are trying to get this information out. But I would go to brasscheck.tv.com and check it out. There is a woman there, and I'm going to see if I can bring this up. And I'm trying to see her name, and here it is. It's Kendra Arneson, and from Louisiana. And I would love to get her on my show. I think I'm going to try to. But she was inside, and she saw what was going on. She rode in the helicopters, the planes. Firsthand, she saw what was really happening. And after that, she came back and they told her, you will not talk about this. You cannot talk about this. And so now they've come in and they've hired all the fishermen and the people along the coast, and they're paying them to clean up because they're out of work, basically. They can't fish. They can't do anything else. And they're saying, basically, if you talk, you can be either, arrested or you're going to lose your paycheck, basically. And so that is the story. And if you go to Brass Check TV, it's brasscheck.tv.com and look up Kendra Arneson's report. It'll just blow your mind. And she's a fisherman's wife, and she is just telling it like it is. This is what's really going on. And she was right alongside major reporters. For the major news media, they were right at her side, and they were told very clearly, "We're going to show you what's going on, but this is what you're going to say." And so they're saying, "Oh yeah, we've got it under control. Yeah, there's still going to be a little bit leaking. Nothing to worry about. This is a catastrophic event that's going on. It's not a pretty picture." So anyway, basically, what's happening there is a real mess, and. We had James on here talking about it. He was firsthand, knowledge, at the event, checking it out, talking to the people. There is a lockdown. You cannot talk. You cannot go there with a camera. You'll get arrested. And they have a lot of enforcement people there that really don't have any right to enforce and do what they're doing, to keep people out, keep people away from the beaches and everything else. So. It's just a very, very sad situation. It's a real mess down there. And what makes it even worse is that the people involved on every level that know what's going on have mishandled. They've just done one inept thing after another. And it's looking now that the only reason they didn't cap it off in the very beginning was pure greed. Because they wanted to get the oil. They didn't want to just pinch it off and shut it down. They still wanted to get the oil. And so because of that, these oil plumes and the wildlife and the swamps and the beaches and the inlets and all of those things now are just being laid to waste. And now there's reports of rain, actually oily rain coming down and on everything, which is not good. So, anybody... along the coast, I would really reevaluate whether or not you want to stay there, with the toxic fumes in the air and with the rains and everything else going on until something is done there. And I don't know if they're ever going to be able to shut this thing off. That's how serious it is. It's not, I don't want to be a doom and gloomer. I don't want to drop people's, you know, consciousness or drop the frequency down, but, you know, basically we need to look at this seriously. I love this planet. I love the people on this planet. And there are some people that do not care one iota for your life, your children's life, or the rest of the life on this planet. And they will do what they will do. And we are seeing that. This is an oily slap in the face to wake up at who's running the country. And if you haven't figured that out by now, you're just not paying attention, and you probably should throw your TV out the window, because, you know, what we're hearing on TV is, oh, they've almost got it cleaned up. There's just a little mop-up now, and you know, everything's looking good. You're hearing this on mainstream news, you know, that it's nowhere near there. They haven't capped this well. They have no control of it, and you've got a hurricane building up, getting ready to come through there. It means they're going to have to shut everything down and take off, and they've got a gusher on their hands. So the only solution I see, people go, well, what's the solution? The solution is we are going to have to get our best international scientists involved in this thing, sit down, have a powwow, figure out what the best way to do it. We have to get BP out of the picture, tell them you're done. You've totally screwed this up beyond any recognition whatsoever. All of your attempts are just attempts at greed, and people are going to have to put pressure on the government, you know, our government especially, and just say, look, you know, you've got to sever all your connections with these guys, and I don't care if they made a huge donation to your campaign. This is about cleaning up the planet and saving, you know, a good portion of the planet. And the people are just going to have to rise up and just say, enough's enough. And the people need a voice down there in Louisiana. And they are getting one, but not through the mainstream. So anyway, I would definitely go to Brass Check TV and check it out and listen to this woman. It just lays it out and says it like it is. But the things you're seeing on the media, they have all these boats and skimmers and everything. They bring all them in for the news, you know, footage. And then they shoot this, and right after the bigwigs are there and the news footage is over, they shut it all down and take off, and the boats are all gone, and nothing's going on there. It's amazing. It's just like it's all staged, you know, just like everything else, basically, in the media. So anyway, we time for you to really wake up and smell the coffee on what's going on there. I mean, it's a very sick, sad bunch of individuals. And, you know, karma is coming home. And, you know, I don't want to be a part of that karmic backlash. So we have to stop being willing participants in this nonsense and supporting it. And you might want to look at, you know, how to boycott some of these groups. You know, and hook up with people, you know, start sponsoring the groups that are creating, you know, alternative energy. Because it's out there. I guarantee you it is out there. There is technology out there that we have, fuelless energy technology. We have amazing technology. You know, they're making these electric cars now. And they had one quite a while ago that was great, and then they killed it. You know, they had to get rid of it. And they had a liquid battery that would go with it that would, like, double its mileage, you know, the distance it could travel. And they had other amazing battery technologies that come out that would make the electric car just as feasible as any other car. So basically they've killed all that technology. So there's no reason why we can't have an electric car, and there's no reason why we can't produce all the fuel it needs through other alternative energies to keep that car going. The technology is here, and some of it's very simple. We can run these cars on water, you know, and the movie Syriana, I love it when, I think it was Clooney said that, and he goes, you know, how long are we going to get away with this? And he goes, till they find out their cars can run on water, you know, so that wasn't a joke. That was a real-time line that these oil boys know that you can run your cars on water. There is technology that is there. So anyway, enough for that rant. I'm hoping we can hook up with the field today. Maybe Seth can hook us up with the field. And I want to talk to some of the people on a lighter note who have been here and are experiencing some of the things going on here, because, you know, we're getting a lot of flack, a lot of attack now. I guess we must be really over the target, but you know, there's all kinds of nonsense over out there saying that, you know, there's no UFO activity here, there's no, nothing's going on here, you know, this is just a bunch of crazy people. So I'd like to go out to the field and hopefully we can hook into the field and the field line and see who's out there and maybe interview some of the people. But I hear a little noise there. Are we hooked in there? Hello? Not yet. It sounds like they're having a little trouble, but we'll get hooked in there sooner or later. We have an amazing group here. Last night we had some amazing activity. One of the ships came in, and I walked down the field, and everybody was standing in the field, and I looked over at Venus, and I said, "What is that?" And they go, "Well, that's Venus." And I said, "There's two of them." And there one was right on top of the other, probably, you know, if you stuck your hand out as wide as your hand is, you know, in the distance, above it, as big as Venus. And it was just amazing. And it was there for quite some time. And then as soon as we recognized it, it just disappeared. But it was massive, and that was just the other night. I think we've got our field connect going on. Hello? Are we connected to the field?
I believe so. I'm not sure.
Who are we speaking with?
Hello. Oh, hi,
hello.
This is Alan. Hi. Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Hello. Good. Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello?
Fine. And we might be losing.
Oh, so there's a lag period, I think. You can hear.
Yeah.
Me
are
fine.
You listening to the radio and on the phone at the same time?
Oh, that's what the radio is the issue.
Yeah, you gotta get away from the radio.
I've done that. There we go. Thanks for that.
Okay.
Hi, James. This is Alan.
Good. How are you doing, Alan?
I'm doing well. Thanks for your rant,
hey,
by the way. It was very appropriate.
Oh, good. Yeah, I have to rant every once in a while. I've got a couple other rants under my belt here that I'm going to let out, but I'm going to wait.
Sure.
I wanted you to share with some of the people some of your experiences since you've come out to the ranch.
Well, I've been here just a couple of days. Just being in the field, just being close to the earth and having my feet on the ground is almost enough. But then, of course, on top of that is just Mount Adams. And then, of course, there are these little orbs that you see up in the sky. And it's just pretty impressive. I try not to put too much attachment to a particular outcome. But, I mean, to see these things float across the sky that clearly are not operating like satellites do are pretty amazing. I mean, it's still my brain wants to get in the way of the experience and say, "Come on!" But my heart knows that it's actually happening. So it's a great place. I mean, everything about this place, of course. And I'm just again 2 days into this, and
yeah.
And I just also want to say that just the other activities here relate to mind body spirit connection and just these ancient Tibetan exercises that we do to prepare us for the evening. It's done very respectfully, so I'm just in awe of the whole experience here thus far.
Yeah, what did you think about the Kunlun class you just took?
I just came out of that about 45 minutes ago. I was it was pretty profound, just what was happening in my body.
It sounds like you're still buzzing a little bit from it, huh?
Yes, no, it was. it's very wonderful. I, of course, suggest anybody should come up here or just actively encourage people to come on up from wherever you are, parts far and unknown.
You know, it's good to come up. I mean, I know when you came up, you had a very discerning mind, which is good, you know, to have a discerning mind. But after a while, when you keep seeing these things power up and light up and do all kinds of weird phenomena, and there's just too many of them up there, after a while, your mind kind of gets broken down. You go, "Wait a second, I can't deny there's something going on here."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what it was. There's just too many. And, you know, as we looked at some of the night vision goggle technology you had out there, I mean, you could see the light mm-hmm. variation, the power variation in them. I mean, that's not how satellites operate. So then you're faced
yeah.
with the reality of what the hell is this, which is a great paradigm
did you get
to deal with.
Yeah, did you get a chance to look at the through the night vision when we had the infrared beam out there?
No, I think we ran out of juice last night, so I was on the cusp.
Oh, okay,
of,
yeah, I thought
other...
so.
Yeah, so another time soon, but
Well, I've got all those batteries charged up this time. I have a couple extra batteries, so we'll be able to do that tonight again, and we can watch the orbs in real time, you know, flying against the wind, interacting with people, and doing all kinds of crazy things, and you know, showing very clearly these are objects. They're some are, you know, 8 inches to a foot wide. Some are 30 feet wide. We've seen huge orbs, you know, and there's no way it could be a dust particle or anything else. They don't go in the ground and come back up out of the ground and then defy gravity and then fly against the wind. That just makes no rational sense whatsoever.
Well, I was right next to folks who took pictures with their little digital camera, and I looked the shot right after they on replay, and sure enough, there were just many orbs out there. So they're clearly there, you know, invisible to the naked eye until you use a bit of our modern technology. But I think
exactly.
Other folks who want to say some things. But thanks, James, for hosting this, and I'm going to hand you off to somebody else. I think there are others here.
Okay, great.
So here we go.
All righty.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Who are we speaking with?
This is Amanda.
Okay. Are you one of the girls from the Corvallis?
Yeah. Well, I'm from Portland, but I'm with that group.
Okay.
Two and two. Two from Portland, two from Corvallis.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You know, I really wanted to get you on the line because basically your group got to experience the not only the ships but the orbs, both with the camera taking pictures and then watching them in real time with the infrared goggles and the infrared beam that we were emitting out there, the spotlight.
Yeah,
so I'd
absolutely.
Love to hear your take on that.
I mean, the orbs were amazing. That was probably my favorite part last night. The infrared was great, but also just when the camera flashed, you could actually see these various lights. It was unbelievable. I really, really appreciated it.
So how about the UFOs? Do you think those were just satellites up there?
I feel like it's another one of those. I mean, honestly, I definitely think there's UFOs, and I think that we saw some.
Yeah.
And it is the same thing where it's like tugging, like, I don't, crazy. These are just you know, people, secret satellites.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But then they're moving so weird and pulsating, so that's weird.
Yeah, and flashing. And, you know, we saw some early. You guys didn't get there yet, but I wish you would have seen the ones that came real early because we had this one sitting above Venus that was just massive. It was bigger than Venus, and everybody just passed it off as a star. And when I walked down the field, I go, that doesn't belong there. And I go, look at that. Everybody turned around, and as soon as everybody turned around and looked at it, all of a sudden it just vanished, you know. But people did get to see it, and it
was massive. We saw one real late that was seemed to change trajectory several times, so that was really awesome too.
Yeah, satellites can't make turns, and they can't go in reverse or stop, you know, or do the things that some of these things are doing. And what's weird is I got some footage of one. I filmed it. It was really good, but it had one UFO coming in, and then they had a little tiny one right above it, and they're just tandem, you know, cruising.
Oh, that's right.
I remember that. Yeah, I don't know of any satellites. I may be wrong, but I don't know of any satellites we have that are tandem with a really bright one, you know, on the bottom, and then a little guy above, and then the little one on the top just all of a sudden just took off, you know, and they were flying together for quite some time. They just zipped out of there, so, you know, that was a little strange.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. I would totally recommend, if anybody's interested, come see this stuff. And, you know, I think
you can see it.
I feel like I could see it in Portland if I tried, you know?
Yeah, you know what happens is people come to the ranch and they understand what's going on, and then they realize that, you know, they can go to JTRAC or Heavens Above and find out what satellites are over their area. And once
exactly.
you do that, look up in the sky, and there's so much, and so many other things flying around up there that are just phenomenal and doing strange things. And You know, I'm not saying these are all aliens. What I'm saying is these are unidentified flying objects that nobody can give us answers. And, you know, I can talk about my own experience, but that's a different thing. You know, I know some of the occupants on the ship, but basically, you know, we have to admit these are UFOs. They're unidentified flying objects that nobody's been able to give us a credible answer on what they are.
I know. And that to me is very interesting that people just want to totally disregard that there are things that are unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm loving this place, and I'm loving the energy here. So I'd really
great.
Like to thank you for the experience.
Oh, I'm glad you're having a good time. Is there anybody else that wants to come on the show?
Yeah. Thanks much.
Oh, thanks
hello.
For coming on the show. Hello.
Hi, hello. This is Marcella. I'm from Corvallis.
Oh, great. So you've been having a good time at the ranch?
Yeah, I've been having a great time. And, you know, I have to admit, I kind of came into the situation on a little bit more on the skeptical end of things. And after what I experienced last night, I don't know how anyone couldn't deny the fact that there's UFOs up in the sky. Just looking up and seeing the speed that they were traveling at, how they pulsate, and just when they were going in the same direction, when they were looking like they were going to crash into each other, it was just crazy. But and that part was really very cool to look up and just stare at the sky. But the thing that impressed me the most was just the energy of the orbs. The orbs are really what got to me, you know, and just being able to see them fly in front of you. I mean, you're looking out and you don't see anything, and then you see them through the black light, through the infrared light, and it's like they're just everywhere. And it's exciting to know that there's just balls of energy flying around that you can tap into.
Yeah, and watching these things fly, too, some of them are coming just straight down and going into the earth, and others were flying around and kind of interacting with the people. But, you know, the wind is coming from the west, and these things are actually going against the wind. And you know, that's a pretty intelligent dust, you know, for the people that are trying to call them dust particles. I don't know if any dust particles can go into the ground and come back up again and fly against the wind and swirl and interact with people. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and I don't know of any dust particles that are that large and that glow when you see the flashing, when the camera lights flash and you capture these pictures that have, you know, these larger size orbs that are yellow and orange and red, and there's all these colors. And how is that a particle of dust? I just don't know how anyone could ever say that.
Well, we have these armchair investigators, you know, that are very opinionated, and they never come out and do the research, and you know, and they have their opinions, and they love sharing them, you know. But just anybody, I think, you know, anybody with a and even a little kid could figure this one out. You know, it's like maybe they need to find their little kid again and stop being so skeptical.
Yeah, that's true. And I think there's something to be said about the energy here at the ranch. You come in and you don't really know what to expect, and then as your time progresses here and you're able to tune in to the earth and to the energy of the sky, you can really tap into some very deep emotions that you've either repressed or you didn't even know you had. And that's the experience I've been having here, is I've just really been connecting with the earth, and I've really been able to enter into a meditation and to really, you know, just get some really great energy. And I think the orbs are around here are giving the energy. I think the earth is giving the energy. I think the sky and the heaven is giving the energy. And it just seems like a really great vortex for all of those things to culminate.
It definitely is. I'm glad you have the sensitivity to experience that energy, and also the discernment, you know, to, you know, don't ever lose your discernment. It's necessary. You have to keep it. But, you know, you want to still keep some kind of logic and reason, you know, along with it.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
To open up to a greater reality. Hey, well, thanks so much for coming on the show. Do you have anybody else there that wants to talk? Or?
Yep, I do. Thank you so much. I've been having the greatest experience here, and I, again, resonate the same sentiments as the person before me. I recommend anyone to come out here and have this phenomenal experience. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, James.
Yeah, who are we speaking with?
I'm Cindy. I flew in from Michigan to come here and visit the ranch.
Oh, okay.
First of all,
yeah.
It feels funny to talk to you and listen to your show, in the daylight because I'm usually downstairs 11 to midnight trying to stay awake. So this is even a good experience. I want to talk about what happened last night. This is my third night here, and it was about 10:15, and I was the only one out there. There were some people out in the field, and they actually saw what I saw, but about 10:15, over the shoulder of the moon, the full moon, came this light. And it's different from a plane. It's different from a star. And I think you almost have to experience it firsthand to really, because it's a feeling, it's a visceral feeling that goes along with what you're seeing in this light. It was almost like a ballet. It's the movement of the light that is makes it different, that you know, that almost, I don't know if it's a connection you make with it and that's what makes it different, mm-hmm. or if it's it's the movement. It floats and it like waltzes across the tree line, and it was mm-hmm. it was beautiful. It was just, it made you feel peaceful, and you almost have to be here to experience it. I think once you experience it, then you know what to look for when you go home. Because I'm excited yeah. about going home and seeing if I can see. Because it can't be just happening just here.
No, so it's happening everywhere, but people aren't paying attention.
Well, that's just it. Now I know what to look for and also what to feel for, because it's mm-hmm. it's a very musical feeling. It's the same energy. Go ahead.
Well, it seems like that ship came in just for you because they didn't see it. The other guy saw something. One of them saw it, I said, but there was another really big one that came in. It looked more towards the west, and they were all screaming, hollering over that one. So two of them came in at the same time, but that one seemed to be your, your special experience.
Well, we weren't sure if we were seeing the same one from a different perspective, if it was two, but the one I saw came directly over the moon from the south, right? The moon is kind of like
yeah,
in the
and
south,
he was,
right?
He was pointing his laser and way over there towards the west, and the one you saw came in from the south, or almost southeast, and where he
was Thursday night. Remember the one on Thursday night we saw that was really mm-hmm. beautiful? It looked to me like the same one. It was the same shape. It was the same glow. And it, mm-hmm. the shape of it was almost like it had maybe tentacles, but that's not really. It just like had fingers reaching out, and it was the shape of it that was so different. But it was also the smoothness of the glide as it moved across the sky. It was just poetic in its movement and regal. It had a regal motion to it that just is different.
Yeah, and watching it go all the way to the east and down behind the trees like we did
mm-hmm.
shows it's self-illuminated because it's far beyond Earth's shadow. And, going towards the east like that, it was definitely in the Earth's shadow. It wouldn't be reflecting light because the sun was pretty far down. And, I don't see how, anybody could call that a satellite, or anything else because it was self-illuminated.
Now, the one that we saw a couple nights ago, was that large because it's large or because it was closer than the other ones that we've been seeing?
You know, it's hard to tell. It could have been either closer or just a massive ship. And, without some kind of radar or something, there's no way we can tell the exact distance. There are ways that you can get two points and, vector it in and figure it out. But, that takes a lot of time and energy and technology to do all that. And we don't have that kind of funding or technology. But, to me, it's individual, basically. People come and see for themselves. They use their own logic and reason to dismiss anything else that could be that would be known. And that's what it's all about is people having their own experience. And then when they go home, nobody can take that away from them.
Now, what I experienced in the movement of the smooth movement rather than any erratic or unpredictable change in direction, mine was what I have seen both nights, it was a real consistent progression across the scope of the sky. Is that a normal pattern, or is it always different?
it seems to be different. Sometimes they'll stop and start, you know, and they'll speed up, or they'll change trajectory. And, you know, we have footage of two going right at each other and then veering off, you know, in opposite directions, you know, doing just crazy things that satellites are incapable of doing. You know, all the known satellites I know about are you know, aren't, you know, they don't have the means to make maneuvers like that.
So some of the ones, I haven't seen those kind yet, are playful rather than what I saw. Yeah, see, I didn't get the feeling that this one was playful. It was, maybe it slowed down so I was sure I saw it. You didn't want me to miss it. The one last night was slower than the one the night before I left.
Yeah. That tells you something. If people go, oh, you're just seeing the space station, you know, go, well, one night it came over, it was hauling buns. The next night it was like, took forever to cross the sky. And we have the data on there. We can always pull that up and see whether or not it was the space station. So when I have large groups out, I bring the computer out and, you know, I could probably do that tonight and pull up the data and show you exactly what is flying where.
I do like the way it pulsated into a stronger power of light.
Oh, yeah, when they light up,
Yeah, that's exciting to see, too, because I came here with not skepticism, but I came here with an analytical approach. I really wanted to analyze what it was I was seeing, but I ended up analyzing what I was feeling. That was more important than what I was seeing, because because you can talk about what you see, but you have to almost experience it for what you feel, and what you feel is really it's more important, or it'll stick with you longer. Because you can't forget what it is you feel.
Yeah, there's an old saying not to go spiritual, but they always say God is a feeling, you know, and you can't capsulize God in the intellect. It's too small, and you can't capsulize this event in the intellect either. It's too vast, and you know, we project our beliefs and reference points and everything on these ETs, and that's so short-sighted because they're so far beyond anything we can imagine, you know, in consciousness, and the intellect is just a drop in the sea of consciousness. So there's a mind beyond the intellect that does know what's going on, and you access that through feelings, and that's why you feel these shifts. And because they're coming from a much more expanded awareness.
Well, I think one of the things, if people want to come here and visit, if their goal is to learn to recognize what it is they're supposed to feel or what they will feel so they'll recognize it when they go home, this is the perfect place to get that teaching. Because you can't, this lesson of what it feels like to see it has to be experienced personally. Once you've experienced it, then you can go wherever it is you came from and just try to discover it wherever it is you live. And I bet you I will. I bet you now that I know what to look for, but most importantly, now that I know how to feel, now I know what I'm supposed to be looking at. And you can't, and that's something that you really have to experience personally. You can't explain it to somebody. You can tell them about it, but you really have to do it yourself. And that's what I liked about it. I wanted to talk to you about when we were doing the Kunlun out in the vortex, which is the space out there in your Skywatch field. And when we were doing our chanting and stuff, and that bird came up behind you, over our shoulder, and like he joined in. It was wonderful. I don't know how close he was. He felt like he was right over our shoulder, and it was almost like he was joining in with the chanting. It was lovely. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, it was a mellow lark, and we haven't seen those for a while. They kind of disappeared, and now they're coming back, and I thought it was amazing how it just flew up and joined us and just sang right there with the group, and I don't think, did anybody see the bird?
Well, I didn't want to open my eyes and look, but it sure felt close behind you, right over your shoulder and mine.
I know, and I never saw the thing.
I didn't either.
It was so loud.
Yeah, it was like he was sitting on one of the posts. one of the poles behind us. That's how close he sounded, and it was like he was enjoying himself. It was like, it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's another thing I wanted to ask you about, your clouds here in Trout Lake. Mm-hmm. They're, are they different? Or honest to God, the first day I was here driving, I looked up in the sky, and I'm not making this up, there was a cloud in the formation of a spaceship. It was perfectly formed. Does that happen a lot here?
You know, it does. And a lot, what happens, they just chemtrailed us really hard, and the air sylphs and whatever beings are up there spun those in. They spun all those chemtrails up into these little balls up in the sky and dissipated the toxins in them, you know, because those, you know, the stuff they're spraying in these chemtrails is very, very toxic and very carcinogenic. And, you know, they've been helping us to clean this up, you know. And you know, it's just like the oil spill down below, it's happening above, too. They're spraying stuff above in the chemtrails and you know, the... You know, what's the difference between a massive oil spill in the ocean and what they're doing to the sky? It's the same group.
I guess that's just another example of the perspective that you're teaching to people now. And more people are hearing it because just becoming more and more people are being drawn here. I really believe that. Because most of you talk to people, you say, well, why are you here? And we say, we're drawn to it, or how'd you find it? And we, you know, people say, well, it was just by accident, or, of course, it wasn't an accident, but you were ready to come here, but you are really drawn to this place. And probably people listening right now, there's people who, just what we're talking about, will be drawn to this place from what we're describing, and I can tell them from personal experience that they will find an answer if they have questions once they come here.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I didn't come here expecting. I came here actually saying, prove it to me. Only because I believe so much, I want to make sure it's real. I don't want it to be a fantasy. I want it to be real. So I want to analyze it enough to know that what I feel is real. And I can say that it really, you can feel it. So thank you.
Yeah, I think I would be classified as one of those Missouri people, you know, show me. You know, I have an open mind, and I think anything is possible. And, you know, the world is just one big potential waiting to happen. But at the same time, I'm using discernment, and I'm not going to just accept something if it hasn't been my experience. And so I'm open to new experiences, but until I experience it myself, it just goes into the interesting file, you know, the box, and I put it up on the shelf and wait for it to prove itself.
There's different groups of people. There's people who believe anything. Maybe they come here already believing. There's people who, no matter what you show them when they get here, won't believe anything. And then I think there's a large group of people who know that anything is possible. And those are the people that, if they're listening and they feel like, well, maybe it is possible, and they're interested, then that's the kind of people that should come here, and with that kind of attitude. With an open heart and an open mind, and just let it something will happen.
We always tell them, just
drop the
skepticism and just pay attention, and then just observe for a while, and then after you're done with that, you know, gather all your data and figure it out from there. But if you come here with a really bad attitude, and you know, you just mess it up for everybody else.
I won't let my husband come here for that reason. I said, no, you can't come there. I'm having a good time.
Well,
don't ruin it. But I will tell you what.
I hope he's not listening.
No, he's back at the room. He climbed Mount St. Helen, and he looked at Mount Adams, and he said, I love that mountain. There's something about that mountain that is regal. He said that it rules all the others, and there is something about that particular mountain.
There's a massive base under it, you know.
In fact, we did see lights. Yeah, we saw lights over the mountain last night, too. They were flashing lights. That was nice. Well, okay. Thanks a lot, James. It's been great.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. And do we got anybody else there that wants to come on? Or?
Oh, yeah, you got a lot of people. Hold on. Just a moment.
Hey, how you doing, James? This is Ramon from New York.
Hey, Ramon, welcome to the show.
I actually want to speak about one. I've seen a lot of UFOs fly over since I've been up here, and I've been here for 4 days, but I think it's more what happens on the ground that's really, like, shaking me up. And if you don't mind, I want to speak about an experience I had with you personally.
Sure.
Where my flashlight was running out, and the battery died, and it's obvious it died, and you said, hey, hand them over to me. And they were 2D batteries, and I take them out and hand them over to James. 2 minutes later, I put them back in, and they work perfectly. And the reason why that is such a big deal to me is because if James can do it, then that means I can do it. So as you were saying earlier, just experiencing something, it's like, oh, I'm open to that, and I believe that can happen. But then to see someone actually do it, it's like, okay, now I got to sit down and meditate and really practice because I saw it in my face.
That's why I do that, just to get people to, you know, this here you have something real. You know, and we have trillions of cells in our body, and they each have a voltage to them. So basically, when you add up all those cells, the voltage in your physical body could light up a whole football field. You just have to know how to direct it. And knowing that it's possible, you can actually direct that energy into the batteries and recharge them. And you know, don't tell Rayovac or those other guys because they'll probably put a hit on me. But you can actually charge your own batteries, folks, you know.
Yeah. The other experience was I was sitting down and meditating. You have like a little, I forgot what they call them, like those little rocks that you follow around in a circle, and then there's a middle part, and you walk through it to kind of clear your mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I...
Yeah, the labyrinth,
that's it. And I walked through it, and I sat down, and I was meditating, and I heard something like land, and not a flutter. I can't even explain the sound. When I opened my eyes to look, I just heard the sound go away, but I didn't see anything, no bird, nothing. And so I just found that, like, wow. But I didn't see nothing, but I heard.
Yeah, those are the fairies messing with you.
Probably something. It was something. I heard the sound go away, but...
Yeah, we had this psychologist here. I told that story, but she was here with a friend of hers, and this fairy flew right up in her face, hovered there for a while, and then took off. And it had a human body and wings and everything. A little, you know, it's probably only maybe 9-10 inches or something, 9 inches, pretty small. And it just freaked her out. And, you know, she was saying, you know, we medicate people for this, you know, and lock them up, you know. I don't know what I'm going to do with this one. And I was laughing, you know, and you know, I'm sure that's a life-changing experience there.
Yeah. Well, thank you, James. I'll put on the next person.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, James. How's it going, son?
Hey, son. What's up?
Good, good. It was a great show.
Hey, you want to talk about your class, the Kunlun class you guys did?
Yeah, it was great. We did a class yesterday, and today a lot of the same people came back. And right after class yesterday, we went out to the tree in the far front of the field, and we was going to set out our sleeping bags, and we wanted to try and stay up to watch the eclipse. And when we came out, you know, there was a big ship that came over, and that was just incredible. Last night was just all kinds of ships came through, and we slept underneath the tree. There was so much energy coming through, and but there were some really interesting things that, you know, that came, that was walking around that tree last night. It was just, it's been a long night. Huh?
I'll bet. You know, the classes, when we do these classes, I know people might get a little upset about this, but, you know, basically we do have ultra-dimensional beings come in, like Pleiadians, Andromedans, and things like that. But we have the masters appear in these classes, you know, the Kunlun classes and the self-mastery classes and things of that nature. And you were present at some of these where Khan actually photographed these, you know, pictures of Mary and these six-dimensional feline beings and Kuan Yin and everything else. You know, what would you say to the skeptics that are saying, you know, this is all nonsense?
Well, they live in a very small box, you know, if that's what they think, you know. I mean, the world is so big. There's so much stars out there, and to think that there's not enough life, other life in other dimensions, is just ridiculous. You know, how would you, if life is just what you see right here, and then when you die, and then that's it, you know, it's, wow, what existence that is, you know? That is just insane.
And these photographs that were taken, and, you know, you were present, you got to experience, you know, both the people that were skeptical taking, you know, Khan's cell phone apart and checking it all out and trying to see if there's any tampering, and then we were all present when he took the other pictures and grabbed his camera immediately, and I believe you're the one that downloaded those pictures. What would you say concerning, you know, look, people are saying, oh, that's a fake or that's a fraud. You know, from your experience, what would you have to say to that?
First, I think to be a skeptic, you'd have to know who Khan is and who he is. If you ever met Khan, you would know that he's genuine, and what he takes is what's entering his field, because he's reached such a state of evolution where these beings are coming to him and entering his field, and his camera is able to pick this up. Even a cell phone camera without a flash is able to pick up these vibrations, because he's emanating this light out of his own field, you know. And when he first took the Kuan Yin pictures and the Kazekiel pictures, there was a reporter here, Peter Ma. He wrote, and he specifically came up here to write an article to and experience the energies of the Kunlun and Khan. And he had a great experience at the workshop. And when Khan took those pictures, he actually took Khan's cell phone and checked the date and the time. And it was as what Khan had said, you know. People had healing experiences with Khan, and just energies are much more present and alive and active here, and the veils are so thin that people are able to see it, you know. I've heard people seeing gnomes and fairies flying down, and last night we were sleeping underneath the tree, and I swear there were some weird magnetic pulses that emanated out, and I've heard little footsteps running around, and we're just like, oh, did you hear that? We're like, yeah, that's, I think that was an elf, you know, or something running around. And it's a magical place if you are in a space to allow and accept it, you know.
And people that are meditating out there, they feel people touch them, like other dimensional beings actually touch their leg or touch their hand. And they put their hand out and they go, if you're here, touch me. And they actually touch their hand. It's pretty, pretty interesting phenomenon going on.
Yeah, we just finished a class, and we have so much assistance in these classes, because we're anchoring these higher vibration, higher energies for the planet and humanity as a whole to continue to evolve and grow. And the higher beings are in such gratitude when we take the walk the path. And Mary Magdalene came in today. It was really strong out in the field, and there was a few people which were their first time, and you know, some people were in tears, and then just connecting with the energy so deeply. It was just transformative, you know.
Yeah, great. You know, it's just awesome. Now, when are you doing your classes now? If people want to come up and do these classes, what's the do you have a standard schedule now that you're doing them, now that you're back off the road again?
Yeah, we're doing the Kunlun classes, which is Friday and Saturday. Times will vary. Friday is at 7 to 9, and Saturday is 6 to 8 p.m. And then we have Qigong classes during the daytime by request, or sometimes we do it regularly. And so if people come up or are interested, they can inquire about that. We're also having Level 1 Kunlun and Level 2 Kunlun workshops coming up. I'm not familiar with the dates right now. I believe the first date is July 16. And for more information, they should log on to the website, eSETI, and get more information that way.
Good. Yeah.
And also, we are looking forward to... Yeah, definitely sign up for the newsletter. We put everything out on the newsletter, and look look forward to bringing other teachers here, such as Jenny Lam with her Yigong, and Khan will be coming back for another workshop. And the best way to stay in touch is to sign up for the newsletter and get updates that way.
Great. Hey, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, yeah, no problem. All right.
Yeah, we're out of time, unfortunately, so we've got to sign off. But anyway, you know, you can't dismiss all of these eyewitnesses that are coming here and seeing the ships like most of the UFO community has, unfortunately. And, you know, the ships are here, the ultra-dimensional beings are here, the veils are very thin here, and things are happening, folks, not just here, but all over the planet. So anyway, looks like we're out of time. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.